Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to John chapter 10, the Gospel according to John chapter 10. Looking this morning at the Feast of Hanukkah, which is celebrated contemporaneously with Christmas, and we'll note why in a few moments. It's an interesting feast, particularly if you want to talk to your Jewish neighbors about it. Ask them where in the Tanakh, that is the Jewish Bible, Hanukkah is found. You may probably do not know that it is not found in the Jewish Bible. The only place that Hanukkah is found is in the New Testament, in John 10, right here in the text we're going to look at. Hanukkah celebrates the dedication of the temple during the intertestamental period between the close of the Old Testament scriptures and the coming of the New, a period of about 400 years. It is something that is prophesied about in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, the abomination of desolation. It occurs in the intertestamental period, it is only mentioned in the New Testament, and that's what we'll be looking at this morning. But just prior to doing that, why don't we ask for the Lord's blessing upon the hearing of His Word. Lord God and Heavenly Father, You have intertwined the destinies of Your church and the nation Israel. And we take opportunity to pause and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and His interaction as the Messiah of Israel with the Jewish people of His day. We pray that You would grant us light, illumine our minds. We pray that You might grant us grace, that Your Word would penetrate our hearts, and that You would help us to respond in a manner that pleases and glorifies You. For we ask it in the name of Your Son, our Savior. Amen and amen. John chapter 10, then, beginning at verse 22 through verse 39. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. The Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. John doesn't waste anything as he writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Where he notes Jesus is walking is significant. So it's not a throwaway data point. Reading on. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, that is the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Christmas is a Jewish holiday. Christmas is a Jewish holiday. As odd as that may sound to you, this was noted in a document, a publication called The Leisure Hour in December 1873, which noted in the article that Christmas is a festival of Jewish origins. The 25th of December date seems to have been adopted by the ancient church as that of the birth of Jesus our Lord. If you pay attention to any people that get into chronologies and one thing or the other, you know that pinning the birth of Jesus on December 25th is indicated by nobody that has studied this. So why did they choose that date? Well, I submit to you it was because of what we read here in John chapter 10 and verse 22. It was the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah. The church celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ as the dedication of the true temple. What John has told us in chapter 2, verse 21, is the body of Jesus as the true temple. I want to look this morning at the occasion for this in the Gospel according to John. Secondly, the origin of this in the intertestamental period. That's found in the books of 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which are not inspired scripture. They are part of what are known as the Apocrypha. And the reason they are in some Bibles, like a Roman Catholic Bible, is because they consider them and value them much more highly than Protestants, who do not recognize them as inspired scripture. But all Reformed confessions acknowledge the Apocrypha as valuable for historical information, even though no doctrine of theology is to be based on them. So the origin of Hanukkah, as we noted here in John 10:22, is found in 1st and 2nd Maccabees. I'll make reference to that later. Thirdly, want to note the celebration of that, and then some points of application. So look at verse 24 in our text. The Jews gathered around Jesus and said to Jesus, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, that is the Messiah, tell us plainly." John here, writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is presenting us with the last act in Jesus' public ministry, and with the Jewish people's final rejection of all that Jesus stood for. Look at verse 25. For instance, his miracles that Jesus had done attest to his messiahship. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. All right? Look at verse 28. I give them eternal life, Jesus proclaimed. Verse 30, he asserts his divinity by claiming to be one with the Father. I and the Father are one. Also in verse 38, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Verse 36 tells of the Father's consecration of Jesus and sending him into the world. And for the work of salvation, that is for saving sinners. As we heard in our assurance of pardon this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And all of that leads up to verse 38. Look at the text. If I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. That is, he is here on the basis of all that he said in this passage, appealing to them to believe in him, appealing for faith. And so this morning, as you hear this text, and we note its historical origins and various aspects of its celebration, please, I'm sure you'll be illumined by the enlightening of the history which lies behind this text, as John, as a Jew, writes about Jesus as the Messiah of the Jews and some of the history behind this. But please do not take it as just a historical narrative. What you're hearing here is the Word of God, and Jesus is calling you to believe in him as the Messiah of Israel. All of this is highlighted and charged with meaning when John connects this with this Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication was the celebration of the deliverance of Israel from the Syrian Greek despot Antiochus Epiphanes. Epiphany is a revelation, and he considered himself to be God. Antiochus revealed to be God, Epiphanes. Now, why is that important now at this point in the Gospel according to John? Well, because the Jewish people are under bondage to their oppressor, Rome, right? They're under political oppression. And they are longing for God to raise up a Messiah whom they expected and anticipate would deliver them once more as God had delivered them in the past. And look at verse 24. They want to know if Jesus is that promised and prophesied Messiah. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. This charged event of the Feast of Dedication. So what was the origin of this? Well, I mentioned previously that it occurred in the intertestamental period between the closing of inspired scripture with the nation of Israel and the coming of John the Baptist and Jesus in the new. It occurred in that period when the Jewish people were oppressed, like they were oppressed by Rome in John. They were oppressed under the rule of Syrian Greeks who sought to destroy them as a separate people and to destroy them as adhering to a distinct religion. All right? Very important to note that. Let me just read you a couple of examples about what exactly was going on. This is talking about, it's quite lengthy, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, so I'm reading obviously select portion, but the main thing was that when they were oppressed, the Syrian Greeks came in under Antiochus Epiphanes and desecrated the temple, the place where God would meet with his people and his people would worship him and where sacrifices were offered in order that their sins might be forgiven. Critical, central to the religion of Israel was the temple. Listen. Not long after this, the king sent an Athenian senator to force the Jews to abandon the customs of their ancestors and live no longer by the word of God. Also to profane the temple in Jerusalem and dedicate it to Olympian Zeus, that was a Greek god. And then on Mount Gerizim to Zeus the hospitable, as the inhabitants of the place requested. This intensified the evil in an intolerable and utterly disgusting way. The Gentiles, the Goyim, filled the temple with debauchery and revelry. They amused themselves with prostitutes and had intercourse with women, even in the sacred court, the Holy of Holies. They also brought into the temple things that were forbidden, treif, forbidden, like pigs, so that the altar was covered with abominable offerings prohibited by the laws. This is what Daniel prophesied in chapter 9, the abomination of desolation. Read on. A man could not keep the Sabbath or celebrate the traditional feast, nor even admit that he was a Jew. Moreover, at the monthly celebration of the king's birthday, the Jews had from bitter necessity to partake of the sacrifices. And when the festival of Dionysius was celebrated, they were compelled to march in his procession, wearing wreaths of ivy. At the suggestion of the citizens of Ptolemais, a decree was issued ordering the neighboring Greek cities to act in the same way against the Jews, oblige them to partake of their pagan sacrifices, and put to death those who would not consent to adopt the customs of the Greeks. It was obvious, therefore, that disaster impended. Thus, two women who were arrested for having circumcised their children. Remember, God commanded that the children of believers, Israelites, were to be circumcised. They were arrested for circumcising their children and publicly paraded around the city with their babies hanging at their breasts and then thrown down from the top of the city wall. Others who had assembled in nearby caves to observe the Sabbath in secret were betrayed to Philip and they were all burned to death. In their respect for the holiness of that day, they had scruples about defending themselves. And then we read of the response of the Jewish people. On the anniversary of the day in which the temple had been profaned by the Gentiles, they actually sacrificed the pig, an unclean animal, on the altar. That is the 25th of the same month, Kislev. The 25th of Kislev, 25th of December. This purification of the temple took place. By public edict and decree, they prescribed that the whole Jewish nation should celebrate these days every year. And hence the origin of the Feast of Dedication, Jesus observed here, and the Feast of Hanukkah, which Jews, particularly in our city, continue to observe. Now, why is this important? It celebrates God's faithfulness to his covenant. It celebrates the dedication of the temple, and it celebrates the deliverance of God's people from oppression. This is particularly important for our understanding of God's covenant and his faithfulness to his covenant. Why do I say that? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring, that is his seed. It does not say and to offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ, the Messiah. Now, if you can't connect the dots, let me connect them for you. The whole story of the Bible, as we've rehearsed many times from this pulpit over the years, begins in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, all right, with the first announcement of the gospel. And the first announcement of the gospel is the promised seed of the woman, whom God said would deliver his people from their sins, all right? And what we find in the book of Genesis and traced throughout the historical books of the Old Testament is a following the line of the seed of the woman. Because if that seed is interrupted, if that line is broken, if for some reason, any reason whatsoever, that line of the seed of the woman is extinguished, then there would be no Jesus. There would be no Messiah. If there had been no Maccabees to rebel against the Syrian Greeks, there would be no Jesus. God's faithfulness to his covenant promises is evidenced by raising up the Maccabees to preserve that line of the seed of the woman so that the promised seed, the deliverer, the Messiah, Jesus, could be born. If not for the Maccabees, there would be no Christmas. Well, how was this celebrated? I'm going to defer some of this until next week because it's extremely rich. The Feast of Dedication was also called by the Jewish historian Josephus the Festival of Lights. And it's very interesting that in John chapter 10, if you look at the narrative in the Gospel, all right, this comes right after Jesus celebrates the Feast of Dedication, right after chapter 9. Now, just allow me to insult your intelligence for a moment. 10 follows 9. But what happens in 9? The man born blind is healed. And 9 follows 8, where Jesus reveals himself to be the light of the world. So the light of the world heals a man born blind as an illustration of Jesus giving light. And in John chapter 10, he observes the Feast of Dedication, also known as the Festival of Lights. More about that next week. Secondly, I said that Hanukkah celebrates the dedication of the temple for the people to worship God. It had been profaned. They had had sex in the Holy of Holies with prostitutes. They took a pig, which was an unclean animal, and sacrificed it on the altar. And when the Maccabees rose up in rebellion, they purified the temple and rededicated it again so that God's people could once again resume their worship of God. Now, look back in John chapter 10. Look at the text. Verse 36. Do you say of him whom the Father consecrated? Jesus is dedicated. He is consecrated in his body as the true temple. And not only is he the true temple, he tells us that in John chapter 2, he is the high priest. And he is the sacrifice who's going to offer himself as a substitute for sinners on the altar of the cross of Calvary. The Father consecrated and dedicated him. And now we celebrate the dedication of his sacrifice in his body as the temple, as he, as high priest, offers himself up for sinners that they might be forgiven. Thirdly, though, it celebrates the victory of God delivering his people from oppression. Look at verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. By Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary, he doesn't conquer political oppressors like the Maccabees did. And he doesn't conquer in the way that the Jewish people thought that he would. If you were the Messiah, tell us plainly. They were expecting a military conqueror. But Jesus, by his death on the cross of Calvary, conquers Satan, conquers powers and principalities, and he conquers death. And he wins a great victory and delivers his people from the power of sin and from the oppression of Satan. And not only does he do that, but he delivers not just Israel, but the Goyim as well, the Gentiles. Look at verse 23. Remember I told you that nothing is wasted, nothing's a throwaway factoid by John. Jesus was walking in temple in the colonnade of Solomon. Look it up. That's the court of the Gentiles. It's the court of the Gentiles. John, a Jew, is writing about a Jewish Messiah that's come not just to deliver Israel, but to deliver the world, to deliver all peoples, all nations, all races, all tongues, that all people might know where their sins can be forgiven, how they can be reconciled to God, and how they can have new life, eternal life, by believing in Jesus, God's only Son. It's very interesting in Isaiah. Those of you that are good Bible scholars will recognize this. In Isaiah chapter 9, one of the prophecies mentioned by Isaiah of the coming Messiah, he says in verse 1, there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea. This is the Via Maris. This is the road, the commerce road, which ran between Iraq and Egypt. And it was on that road that traversed Israel that Jesus was born. And look at what it says. He made glorious the Via Maris, the land between beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness, the Gentiles, have seen a great light. Jesus, the light of the world. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Jesus conquers not political oppressors, but Satan, powers, principalities. He delivers Israel, and he delivers the Gentiles as well. He is the Messiah. Look at verse 38. If I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Remember, Jesus is calling for faith, to believe He is the Messiah of Israel, to believe He is the one sent by the Father, dedicated to be the deliverer of His people, to deliver them from their sins, to deliver them from the devil who has taken them captive to do His will, and to deliver them into the glories of life, which is truly life, eternal life. And the question simply then is, my friends, do you believe that? Do you believe that? How will you celebrate Christmas? Celebrate it by celebrating Hanukkah, the 25th of Kislev, the 25th of December, which recognizes Jesus is the reason for the season, as it said. Now, if I can make one concluding word of application. Why is this important? Not just a historical lesson. I trust you find that interesting. Background of the New Testament, Jewish people. Why is this important? Not only for its spiritual, obvious spiritual application. Do you believe Jesus is the Messiah and enjoy the forgiveness of sins and eternal life? But why is it important for us as a church today? Well, the repeated theme in the books of Maccabees is that what happened to them, the oppression of the Syrian Jews, Syrian Greeks, and the forbidding of them to practice the Word of God and to worship God as had been taught in His Word. It's very obvious that the repeated theme in the book of Maccabees is that they brought this on themselves by compromise. They compromised with their oppressors. If you will, they compromised with the world. They blurred the antithesis, which we talked about in our 10:30 service. They eliminated the distinction, the difference between them and the world by following the practices of the nations that were oppressing them. And syncretism with the culture, ever and always, when we read about it in the Bible or when we read about it in the book of Maccabees, results in self-destruction. Let me read you just a couple of texts. There sprang from these a sinful offshoot, Antiochus Epiphanes, son of King Antiochus. Once a hostage at Rome, he became king in the year 137 of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days there appeared in Israel men who were breakers of the law, and they seduced many people, saying, "Let us go and make an alliance with the Gentiles all around us. Since we separated from them, many evils have come upon us." See, they blame their separation, not in faithfulness to God, but on things happening to them. The proposal was agreeable. Some from among the people promptly went to the king, and he authorized them to introduce the way of living of the Gentiles. Thereupon they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to the Gentile custom. They covered over the mark of their circumcision, because in the gym everybody was naked. So they didn't want to be identified as Jews. And they abandoned the covenant. They allied themselves with the Gentiles and sold themselves to wrongdoing. And then later we read this. "Now I beg those who read this book not to be disheartened by these misfortunes, but to consider that these chastisements were meant not for the ruin, but for the correction of our nation. It is in fact the sign of great kindness to punish sinners promptly instead of letting them go for long. Thus in dealing with other nations, the Lord patiently waits until they reach the full measure of their sins, and before he punishes them. But with us he has decided to deal differently, in order that he may not have to punish us more severely later when our sins have reached the fullness. He never withdraws his mercy from us. Although he disciplines us with misfortunes, he does not abandon his own people. Let these words suffice for recalling this truth. Without further ado, we must go on with our story." What they're saying is simply, the reason that we're in this mess is because we compromised. We compromised with the world. We forsook the Word of God and the God of the Word in order to become acceptable to those who were our oppressors. And the message is today. Our elder said it at the beginning of worship. We seek to be a people that make a difference by being different. Compromise with the world for all the problem of being unfaithful to God always results in destruction of ourselves. We may not, we must not compromise. Our very purpose in this congregation is to make a difference by being different. So this Christmas, celebrate Hanukkah, the 25th of Kislev. Celebrate Christmas. Recognize that the Father consecrated Jesus and sent him to be a deliverer, to grant forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all those who turn from sin and trust in him. But remember also that it's a clarion call. Not one inch compromised. Remember when Moses led Israel out of Egypt? He said, we're going to take every man, woman, and child. We're going to take all the animals with us. And he said, we're not going to, not one hoof will be left behind. Not one hoof. Paul in the book of Ephesians says, let there be not even a hint of compromise amongst God's holy people. If it were not for Hanukkah, there would be no Christmas. But let us be called to dedicate ourselves wholly to the Lord, particularly as this day we remember his shed blood and his broken body. But as we receive that blessing, we renew our commitment, our devotion, our dedication. Not one hoof, not even a hint. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for John, who recorded all these details for us. We thank you above all for Jesus, your Son, the Messiah, our Savior. We ask that you would help us. We ask that you would grant us joyful celebration of this meal in remembering what Jesus has done for us and in helping us by your grace, by your word, and by your spirit to live ever and always faithful to you all the days of our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen.